There was only 40 seconds of silence when you were expecting God's word. The Israelites had to endure 400 years of silence between the Old Testament ending and the New Testament beginning. Wow. 400 years. That's a long time, isn't it? And if you look at the last book of the Old Testament in Malachi, and just turn to Malachi and the last chapter, it's Malachi chapter 4 and verse 5. This is how the Old Testament ends. Malachi chapter 4 verse 5, where it says, "See, I will send you the prophet Elijah before that great and dreadful day of the Lord comes. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the hearts of their children, and the hearts of the children to their fathers, or else I will come and strike the land with a curse." Okay? Those were the last words in the Old Testament. And after that, there were 400 years when there was no word of the Lord that came. Not 1 year, not 2 years, but 400 years. If you look at the Bible, okay, this is aside, there were two periods in biblical history when there were 400 years of silence. Do you know when the other period was? Anybody knows? It's between Egypt. That's right. It's between the end of Genesis and the beginning of the first chapter of Exodus. You know, we just think it's one chapter. But there were 400 years that passed where there was no word from God. And this morning, we're going to look at the birth of Jesus, which the 400 year silence was broken when the angel Gabriel came to Zechariah in Luke chapter 1 and said these words to Zechariah, who was shaken up, and says, "You know what, you know, most angels, what they say, the first thing they say when they meet you, do not be afraid." I wonder why they say that. Because And usually people get terrified when they see angels, all right? So he says, "Do not be afraid." And that's when the silence is broken, where the angel Gabriel comes to Zechariah, and in verse 13 says, "But the angel said to him, 'Do not be afraid, Zechariah, your prayer has been heard. Your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you are to give him the name John. He will be a joy and delight to you, and many will rejoice because of his birth. For he will be great in the sight of the Lord. He is never to take wine or other fermented drink. And he will be filled with the Holy Spirit, even from birth," or even from his mother's womb. "Many of the people of Israel he will bring back to the Lord their God. And he will go before the Lord in the spirit and power of Elijah, to turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and the disobedient to the wisdom of the righteous, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord." Wasn't that amazing? 400 years ago, Malachi had written saying, a messenger is coming before the coming of the Lord, and he'll be like Elijah, and so forth and so on. And 400 years later, the silence is broken when the angel Gabriel appears to Zechariah the priest. You know, Zechariah and his wife, Elizabeth, were old and beyond the age of childbearing. All right? It says in verse 7 of chapter 1. "But they had no children because Elizabeth was barren and they were both well along in years." But God comes in with an amazing promise to this couple. And as you listen to the message this morning, let's believe that the word of God will bear fruit in the lives of people who are looking for children, that God will do a miracle as he's done here. But we're going to look this morning at the wonder of Jesus' birth this morning. That's the title of the message, the wonder of Jesus' birth. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you because your name is the name above every other name. Your birth is the greatest event in history, along with your resurrection from the dead. Lord, open our eyes this morning by your Holy Spirit, that we would wonder and gaze in wonder at this glorious coming of yours in the flesh. Lord, anoint me as I speak. Touch our spirits, Lord, that we would be in awe of you and worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we see, wow, amazingly, this is what happens. The 400-year silence is broken with the angel Gabriel coming to Zechariah. Zechariah was stunned by what happened. He couldn't believe it. You know, I don't know how old he was, but he just couldn't believe it. And because he couldn't believe it, you know what happened to him? He couldn't speak, the angel said. Because he says, listen, we go through that. Zechariah verse 18, ask the angel, how can I be sure of this? I'm an old man and my wife is well along in years. The angel answered, I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God and I've sent you this. He says, because you didn't believe. You know, till the day your son is born, you won't be able to speak. And that was a sign. Anyway, so we see an amazing birth is announced. John the Baptist was very special. Do you know how special he was? In fact, Jesus says, I think it's Matthew 11, he says, among those born of women, there is none greater than John the Baptist. Wow! Isn't that amazing? He's greater than Abraham and Moses and Elijah. And Elijah said, John the Baptist in the Old Testament is the greatest. Why was he the greatest? Because one of the reasons is this, because he was going to announce the coming of the Savior of the world. Wow! That was great. And one of the amazing things about him, as we go through this Christmas story, we're going to also pay attention to the work of the Holy Spirit. John the Baptist, what was the Holy Spirit going to do? He says, from his mother's womb, he will be filled with the Holy Spirit. It's not so. It's not when he is born and then it's going to happen, but in the mother's womb. And we see that happening very soon. Okay, we'll come to that. Let's look at the birth of Jesus announced. Soon after Gabriel went to John the Baptist, he also went, a few months later, he went to Mary. And we turn to verse 26 of Luke chapter 1. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, greetings, you who are highly favored. In Latin, it is Ave Maria. That's what it is. He says, the Lord is with you. Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, those famous words again, do not be afraid. Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and give birth to a son. And you are to give him the name Jesus. Everybody say Jesus. Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end. Wow. You know, the whole Old Testament spoke about the coming of a descendant of David who will sit on the throne forever and ever. The Jews were expectantly waiting for this Messiah to come, and every generation looked forward. You know, when a Jewish son was born, is this going to be the Messiah? It came to pass at Mary's time. So Mary knew about it, and she said, how will this be? Mary said, since I'm a virgin. Mary was only engaged. They were not married. And this is what the angel said. The Holy Spirit. Note again, Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will come upon you and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Hallelujah. What's so amazing about Christmas? It's this. Few things. Many things. But here's one of them. The first time in history, a virgin would give birth to a child without a man being involved. The God's Spirit would come upon her and she would conceive. And this was no ordinary child. This was the Son of God. And then in order to, I think, bolster her faith a little bit more, the angel Gabriel tells Mary, verse 36, even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age. And she, who was said to be barren, is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God. Turn to somebody and say that. Nothing is impossible with God. See, whatever situation you're facing, nothing is impossible with God. Encourage them. Okay. And Mary said, I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. Then the angel left her. Wow. Isn't that amazing? So we see the supernatural birth of Jesus is announced by the angel Gabriel. In Galatians chapter 4, verse 4, it says, but when the time had fully come, God sent his son, born of a woman, born under law. Go on, next verse. To redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights of sons. What does it mean when the time had fully come? You see, God had chosen that exact moment in history when Jesus would be born. What does the time has fully come mean? Well, one of the scholars say this. It was the right time for the gospel to go forth to the entire world. When Malachi had ended his book, at that time, the Persians, that's the Iranians, were the world superpower at that time. Soon after that, the Greeks took over. Have you heard of Alexander the Great? Yeah. Alexander the Great was born in 350 BC. And, you know, once he grew up at a young age, within 12 years, he conquered the known world, the Middle East, Western and Eastern Europe, parts of Asia, all that. He came right up to India. That's what happened to Alexander the Great. So at different times, different superpowers came into being. The Persians, then you had Alexander the Great, which are the Greeks. And because the Greeks conquered the world, this is what happened. The Greek language was spoken in all these nations. Greek language, Greek culture, Greek customs. Okay, so that was what happened. And then that empire came to an end. And the Romans came to power. Okay, and the Romans were powerful. They conquered the world. And what they did is they imposed, or they, as a result of their ruling, the Pax Romana came. Roman peace. That means there was good governance. They had soldiers. And they wanted to go from one end of the empire to the other. So you know what they did? They bought aeroplanes. No, they didn't. There were no aeroplanes then. They built roads. They built paved roads from one end of the empire to the other. And that's why you have the saying that says, all roads lead to Rome. That's what it was. That's how we got it. So they built the roads so that the soldiers could go from one place to the other very quickly. But God used it to do what? Take the gospel of Jesus Christ across the known world very quickly. And that's what Paul did. He traveled across these roads. So you see, the fullness of time had come. So they had one language. Greek was spoken. They had peace. In this peace, people could travel from one place to the other without being afraid of one another and about these things. And so when Galatians 4 says, but when the time had fully come, this is what it was referring to. Let's turn to Luke chapter 2 and look at the birth of Jesus. But just before we go to Luke chapter 2, let's look at Luke chapter 1, verse 59. Sorry, verse 39. So the angel Gabriel came to Mary and said, you're going to have a child. This child is going to be very special. The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the child you'll have will be called the Son of God, the Son of the Most High. Verse 39 says, at that time, Mary got ready and hurried to a town in the hill country of Judea, where she entered Zechariah's home and greeted Elizabeth. Wow. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, I don't know how she greeted her. I don't know if she gave her a high five or whatever she said, but she greeted her. When Elizabeth heard Mary's greeting, look at this. The baby in her womb leaped, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. Wow. Amazing. And what happens when you're filled with the Holy Spirit? The next verse, in a loud voice, Elizabeth exclaimed, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me? As soon as the sound of your greeting reached my ears, the baby in my womb leaped for joy. Blessed is she who has believed that what the Lord has said to her will be accomplished. Isn't that amazing? Yeah, she just spoke to her, greeted her. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. John was filled with the Holy Spirit. He leaped for joy. Elizabeth burst forth in praise. And Mary responds again as well. And Mary spoke out again. Amazing, amazing things. All right. Let's look at the birth of John the Baptist, the forerunner of Jesus. And look at, we don't have too much time, but we'll come to it. And we look at verse 67. In 67, it says there, his father Zechariah was filled with the Holy Spirit and prophesied. Praise be to the Lord, the God of Israel, because he has come and has redeemed his people. This was at the birth of John. So you get John the Baptist filled with the Holy Spirit, Elizabeth filled with the Holy Spirit, Mary filled with the Holy Spirit, and you have Zechariah filled with the Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? The work of the Spirit in the life of Jesus. Okay, let's go on to the birth of Jesus, Luke chapter 2. And we'll see the different characters involved. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree, verse 1, that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. I'm sure you're all familiar with Caesar Augustus and Quirinius. Everybody, you ask anybody on the street, have you heard of Caesar Augustus? They'll say, yeah. Quirinius, yeah. No. All right? Caesar Augustus was the great emperor at that time. Quirinius was the governor. Everybody would know about them. Jesus, Mary, and Joseph, nobody's. Nobody would have heard about them or known them. They were nondescript people. 2,000 years later, nobody's heard of Caesar Augustus or Quirinius, but everybody's heard about Jesus and Mary and Joseph. Isn't that amazing? So we can look at things and say, you know, I'm a nobody. Nobody knows me. But one day, as we serve God, as we do His will, whatever we've done, Jesus said, will be shouted out at the rooftops in front of everybody else. All right? So keep that. So now, this was the problem. In Micah chapter 5 verse 2, we can turn that. The prophet Micah had prophesied about the coming of the Messiah. And he says, and he prophesied. There are so many prophetic words in the Bible about Jesus. All right? But we're going to just look at one of them. But you, Bethlehem, Ephrath, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler of Israel, whose origins are from old, from ancient times. So, the Messiah was supposed to be born in Bethlehem. The only problem was Mary and Joseph lived in Nazareth. So how do you get them to move from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that she delivers there? With God, all things are possible. And so he put it in the heart of Caesar Augustus to take a census. And so because Mary and Joseph were originally from Bethlehem, they had to make that journey. It's like going from Mumbai to Pune. Anybody gone from Mumbai to Pune, Pune to Mumbai? Yeah, great. The only difference is they didn't have a train or a car. So most probably Mary sat on a donkey and Joseph walked. That must have been a long journey. And she was pregnant. You know? And very close to delivery. Have a look at Jennifer or Newton. You know, that's what it was, okay? So imagine in that state to sit on a donkey. I don't know how comfortable a donkey is. Anybody have any experience? I've sat on a camel, and I tell you, it is horrible. You know, if you want to start a business, I'll tell you what it is. Have a camel, and tell people it's free to get on, really, but I'll charge you to get off. Because once that camel moves, it's like, oh no. So can you imagine, poor Mary, traveling all the way from Mumbai to Pune, but that's what it was, Nazareth to Bethlehem, pregnant, on a donkey, and arriving there. And what's worse is that when she got there with Joseph, Okay, let's back to Luke chapter 2. While they were, it says, they went to register. Okay, let's look at verse 4. So Joseph also went from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. Wow. So there they've gone, made this journey by donkey, 170 kilometers. They must have been tired. Well, there was no hotel for them to stay in. You know, the inn must have been full and packed. The innkeeper said, well, we have got a little stable out there where we keep the horses and the donkeys. Y'all can stay there. Now think about this. Micah's prophecy came 800 years before Jesus was born. The fullness of time. God touched the heart of Caesar Augustus to issue a declaration, to do a census, and that moved Joseph and Mary from Nazareth to Bethlehem so that she could deliver there, and she was in the ninth month. Couldn't God also have made provision for one little room for them? He could have, absolutely. He's orchestrated this huge thing. But in his plan, he did it. Why? New Testament tells us that Jesus, who was rich, became poor so that you might become rich. Isn't that amazing? Yeah. He who was rich, he created everything. He chose not to be born in a king's palace, but to be born in a stable. Okay, all you ladies here, I want to ask you, how many would like to give birth in a stable? Put your hand up. None of us would choose it willingly. But Jesus chose it willingly. It shows his humility. Wow. Okay. But just for us to note this thing, God is in control of all things. If he can make the Caesar Augustus issue a decree, and he can make sure there's no room in an inn, he's in control of your life. The big things and the small things. Turn to somebody and say, God is in control of my life. Turn to them. Okay? So you may be thinking, I'm stuck. God is in control. He can do all things. Believe that. All right? We see that here in Scripture. Okay. So this is what God did. Amazing. Okay? The second thing to note from this is that, you see, Caesar Augustus, Quirinius, Bethlehem, Nazareth, they're places you can visit today. The story of Jesus is not story, it is history. All right? It's history. It's not mythology. It's not somebody's story like Red Riding Hood or the Three Little Bears. It is rooted in history. Okay? It's rooted in history. So you can believe it. It is true. Okay? That's what we need to know. Okay, let's go on now. We have a few more minutes. So we see how the birth of Jesus took place. Verse 8. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. And as usual, when the angels come, what do they say? Do not be afraid. See that again there. You know, the glory of the Lord around them, and they were terrified. You know, haven't you ever wished, oh, I wish I could see an angel? You know, sometimes we say that, but it's great. But just remember, angels are not, have you seen those pictures of angels on cards? Yeah, what do they show you? Little babies with round everything and in the clouds and all that. Have you seen with little wings, white and smiley faces? Yeah, listen, that's not biblical. Right? The first time an angel shows up in the Bible, he's got a big sword in the Garden of Eden to keep people from coming there. The second time the angels show up is when they destroy, I think it's Sodom and Gomorrah with one attack. They destroy cities. So angels are powerful, mighty beings. They're not cute little babies. Okay? So that's why the first thing they say when they come to you and they see you trembling, they say, do not be afraid. All right. So let's go on. So you've got the shepherds. Now, think about it. The Son of God is coming to be born on earth. You want to make this known to everybody. Why not go to a journalist's house or go to the newspaper editor or go to the king's palace and tell them, or the priests or the chief minister, go to the important people. Who are these shepherds? Now, you've got to know, in those days, the shepherds were nomads. They moved from one place to the other. Okay, they were people of disrepute. Nobody trusted them. They were like kind of crooks. In fact, in Israel, if a shepherd were to give testimony in court, it would not be accepted because they would be liars. Okay, that was how bad they were considered in society. But God chose to reveal the news about the birth of his son Jesus, not to the high and mighty, but to lowly nobodies, the shepherds. And we see that he sends his angel to them. He says, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. Who does God consider to give this important news to? He considers ordinary shepherds who society looks down upon. Turn to 1 Corinthians 1, chapter 26. And this is what it says there. The gospel has come largely to nobodies like you and like me. Verse 26 says, Paul says, brothers, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth. Verse 27. But God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. He chose the lowly things of the world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God, that is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let him who boasts, boast in the Lord. Hallelujah. If you're not rich this morning, if you're not very brainy, if you're not famous or have come from a great family, you're in good company. God chose you. Wow, isn't that great? Yeah, he chose us so that we can't boast in anything. We can only boast, Lord, you have chosen me. Wow, what a privilege it is. What a privilege it is. So we can't boast that I've been chosen by God because of my education or my intellect or my brains or my money. No, no, no. Those things don't count at all. His sovereign choice, like he chose the shepherds at that first Christmas Eve, the same way he has chosen you. What did the shepherds do? The shepherds heard the message. Well, see what happened. See the wonder of Christmas. Okay, the angel said to them, this is in Luke chapter 2 verse 10, do not be afraid, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all people. The birth of Jesus is not just for Christians, it's for which people? All people, all the people. He says, and what's the good news? Verse 11, today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. Okay? Says, the world needs a savior from our sin, and that savior is Jesus. Okay, that's what it is. You will find him, and this is a sign. He says, how do you know is a savior? This is a sign, okay, because lots of babies could have been born. But he said, this sign, this child will be wrapped in cloths and will be placed in a manger. You know what a manger is? It's a little wooden piece of thing, a trough. Okay, where they feed the animals in. So the donkeys and the horses and other things ate from there. And because it was cold, This is what Mary, they didn't have hot water bottles, they didn't have electricity, so they wrapped him in cloths, they were outdoors, and placed him there. And the angel said, this is the sign that this child is the savior of the world. Because that's how would they recognize him? That's what happened. And then see what happened. Verse 13. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Not one angel, but a whole company of angels. The light, the sky must have been lit up and bright. Wow, what a wondrous day. And it says, peace on earth on whom his favor rests. When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. Wow. So they saw Mary and Joseph and the child. They had encountered angels. What did they do? When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. Now just think of the irony. In court, their testimony is invalid. But God chose these very people, transformed their lives, and used them to tell people about the birth of his son, Jesus. And the same thing happens to us. People should look at you and they say, hey, this person is different from what he was or what she was. What is the difference? The difference is Jesus has come into your life and has changed you from being a liar to telling the truth, from cheating to not cheating, to being generous and so forth. So when people see that difference, they accept the message with amazement, all right? And so we see that happening. The shepherds return, verse 20, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as had been told. Can we be like those shepherds? The God who created everything was born 2,000 years ago. Our job is to tell people about this amazing birth. Okay? Use that card, invite your friends, do what you have to do. It may even be difficult, but you just do it. Say, please come, all right? And let's do that. And just to end this, we'll look at a couple of more things. It says they spread the word, and when Jesus was born, he was presented on the eighth day, verse 21, to be circumcised, and he was taken to the temple, all right? And it says there was a man called Simeon, verse 25. Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel. He was waiting for the Messiah. It had been revealed to him again by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And it says, and the Holy Spirit was upon him. Now, here's a man, must have been an older man, God had told him by Spirit, you are not going to die till you see the Messiah. And he was there at the temple waiting because the children, when they were born, they were circumcised and the time of purification was over, 40 days or whatever, they had been brought to the temple to be dedicated. And Simeon must have been looking at all these children. Is this the one? Is this the one? Is this the one? We don't know how many years he'd been doing that. And then one day, the Holy Spirit tells him, look at that, verse 27. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts when the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him what the custom of the law required. Simeon took him in his hands and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people. A light for revelation to the Gentiles and for the glory of your people, Israel. Wow. And he goes on and on and on. You know? And we want to see that. Will you be caught up in the wonder of the birth of Jesus? Okay? That's what it is. I encourage you to continue to read the Gospels and ask the Holy Spirit to show you more so that we won't become casual with these things. But we will say, wow, what happened 2,000 years ago was so great. Angels coming to shepherds in the middle of the night. A virgin giving birth. A barren couple suddenly having a child. John the Baptist being filled with the Holy Spirit from his birth. You know, I have no time to mention about Joseph being, the angel appearing to Joseph in a dream when he decided to divorce Mary because she was pregnant by the Holy Spirit and he didn't know that. But the angel said, no. She hasn't sinned. It's the Holy Spirit that has come upon her. So there are so many amazing things. And the most amazing thing is the Savior has been born. Have you received this Savior? If you have not, I urge you, receive him. He came to save people from their sins. Wow. Let's worship. Let's bow down this morning and pray. Lord Jesus, we are amazed at your wonderful birth, Lord. When you came to earth 2,000 years ago, wow, you humbled yourself. You were born in a manger, in a stable. Lord, we bow before you this morning and we declare you are the Savior of the world, Lord. Would you come upon us this morning, Lord Jesus, by your Spirit, that we would marvel at your birth. Thank you, Jesus. We love you. Help us to be like those shepherds, Lord, who didn't keep the news to themselves, but went out and proclaimed the amazing things that had been done. Oh, Lord, help us to do that. Lord, help us to do that. Lord, you deserve to be worshipped. Help us to be people who will worship you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. God bless you. Yeah, remember, next Sunday, be here before 10:30. Bring your friends and come, and we will have a wonderful time proclaiming the amazing things about the birth of this wonderful Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.